Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We do. We still have the 2022 half off promo code 2022HALFOFF if you'd like to get 50% off of any of our newsletters, and that's up until the end of the year. And you go to VRTrader.com, Victor Robert VRTrader.com. And also I want to disclose that I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
The Bank of Canada hiked its trend-setting rate by 0.5%. What do you think the Fed's going to do at their December meeting?
That's what it sounds like they want to do here. That's what all the jawboning and all the various discussions. It seems like the entire world, financial world, is based on what the Fed does or what the Fed doesn't do, or what the Bank of Canada is doing and not doing. And it's really ludicrous. There's so many other factors out there affecting the markets, and the interest rate move was a manipulation on the part of the Fed. I just keep pounding the table. If they had me on CNBC or one of the national news programs, which they're not, but the first thing I would say is abolish the Fed and forget the whole thing, because they're incompetent and they screwed up already, and they'll screw up again, and they'll do the backpedaling, and they'll reverse their position, and they'll do like Alan Greenspan did decades ago, acting like a New York taxi cab driver by slamming on the brake and then slamming on the accelerator, and now they're slamming on the brake, and they're going to have to go the opposite way for political pressure or other reasons. And it has really very little to do with the inflationary environment, which is based on world events, geopolitics, and geocosmic events. You know, we got 47 volcanoes exploding right now on the planet. I mean, you get a super volcano go off, it's all over. And no matter what the Fed or anybody does, it doesn't mean a damn thing. And we got the war in Europe. The fact is, we are well underway. We got the U.S. government. And I know Hungary just came out and said they weren't going to support any funding for the war. But, you know, they're looking for war. They wouldn't be sending money over to Ukraine, which is wasted money. Got a corrupt government there to begin with, and they're just looking to get rid of Putin, which is not the solution to our problems, because if they get rid of Putin, it's going to be worse. So it's just on and on with this stupidity. It's just really all about two factors, honestly. It's what the U.S. dollar does, and it's what happens in Europe. And the Fed is non-consequential. They're not going to get interest rates back down to 2%. To do that, they'd have to destroy the U.S. and the Canadian economy. It would go along with your Bank of Canada, and they would do what they could to try to destroy everything down here financially. So, you know, we have a Christmas spirit out there now. What we have going on now, short term, as you probably know, we have the Consumer Price Index, which I think is supposed to be released tomorrow morning, and it's, I think it's 8:30 Eastern time, and it's expected to increase 0.2%. So you might get a little uptick there. Everybody's hoping that it goes the other way, so the Fed has less reason to raise rates. It excludes food and energy, which is a hoax to begin with, so it doesn't really include things that really cost people money. And you know, I don't know. I guess I've been doing this for too many years, Jim. It just, the whole thing is a sham with the government release of numbers, the political pressures to raise or low interest rates. And if you just listen to financial news, all they're talking about is, you know, again, what the Fed is doing and what the inflation is doing and whether unemployment is going up or down. And if unemployment doesn't go down and it goes up, the Fed has more reason to raise rates. I mean, we have a border crisis in the U.S. We have criminals running the government that basically have violated our laws. We have, you know, we have China stealing our technology. We've got potential war, you know, in the, between Israel and Iran, Taiwan and China, you know, China and us. I mean, there's so many other things going on, and, you know, they're going to do what they can. We have the plunge protection team here in the U.S. And again, we have the Santa Claus rally, seasonal positive this time of year. So I guess what they're going to try to do is rally stocks. And, you know, I was in and out today in terms of just general comments for our service. I'm just too nervous this time of year. Too many are expecting the big rally. Maybe we'll get it or not. But as a technician, there's a key technical average called the 200-day moving average. And we couldn't get through that. That's been a resistance level on the charts. So we'll see if they can break through that. But I'm looking for a resumption of the bear market next year to considerably lower levels. And you got to be really careful here. Instead of looking for stocks to buy, you should be looking how to preserve cash. You can get interest-free interest with risk-free, I should say, not interest-free, high interest with risk-free returns if you buy treasury bills, for example, from the U.S. government, 4.5%. You don't have no risk, supposedly, unless the U.S. government goes zip. And, you know, why screw around? You should be looking how to short the market into strength for the further declines that lie ahead, in my opinion. But if you just want to lay low, try to get some risk-free interest while interest rates have upticked here short-term, and just call it a day. That's sort of my opinion. The real estate might be another choice. People are needing places to live. Housing is expensive with the higher interest rates now. So, you know, people still need places to live. So I guess real estate, if you want to buy real estate and rent it out, if you can find, you know, a good deal, that would make some sense to me. And, you know, thirdly, you know, a hedge in the metals market, though I'm not, you know, pounding the table on gold and silver. They seem to be finding some buyers here as a backup security position. It's always good to have a little bit of it. But, you know, if the U.S. dollar takes off again to the upside, which it might, particularly if war really starts to accelerate, then you know, that could put pressure on gold and silver. Unless, you know, there are times where they move in sync and they don't always go in, you know, inversely together. So maybe this is the time that if we get, you know, more of a war environment, that perhaps there'll be more money put into gold and silver, and you'll see that as a bit of a hedge. So that would be sort of a tertiary comment on my part. So long-winded response. Rates are going up. They're going to continue to go up. They may go up a little slower. And I just, my big fear, as we've talked about before, is, you know, is Jay Powell trying to mirror the reputation, you know, from the 1980s in terms of, you know, driving rates up to the incredibly high levels in case he doesn't get the response he wants that they're talking about. So it'll be an interesting times ahead, and we should just take it a day at a time here and see how it unfolds into the new year.
The Bank of Canada admitted it takes a year and a half to 2 years to feel the effects of these rate hikes. So why are they doing them so high, so fast, so soon? Why not wait and see what the effect has been? Or they just don't care if it causes massive unemployment and a collapse of the economy?
Incompetence. Economists run the Fed, and I assume the Bank of Canada. They have the worst track record on earth for timing these things. Ben Bernanke, I've said this many times, he was quoted back in 2008-09 saying that one of the reasons we had the Great Depression in the U.S. or helped accelerate it was the fact the Fed acted incorrectly and raised interest rates during the Great Depression in the early 1930s. There's a whole track record here. You got to read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I put it on my website, picture of the cover every day. It basically calls for the abolishment of the Federal Reserve. Their goal is full employment, yet they're trying to get employment down at the current time. I mean, they're not even following their own guidelines. The Fed is an independent agency created by the U.S. government. It's actually a private corporation, originally owned by the banks themselves. It was created in 1913. It's over 100 years. We need to get rid of it. We need to get the free market to determine interest rates. For the free market to determine interest rates, they would have been upticking long before now. We wouldn't have been sitting at zero rates for 10, 12 years. The market, free market, would have adjusted rates slowly higher. And, you know, you wouldn't have had this burn and destroy situation or boom and bust situation that we seem to have with the powers that be. They react rather than anticipate. And you show me an economist that correctly calls the markets and the economy, and I'll send you a dollar.
Well, it's a dollar more than I have right now. Mark,
right.
Now, long-term fixed mortgage rates are determined by the long-term bond market, and in some cases we've heard they've already come down. Does that mean that these central banks are out of step with reality?
Right. The Treasury bonds have actually been rallying, coming off their lows, but it could just be, as I think, a technical rally, and also anticipating that the Fed's going to, you know, change their mind or be forced to change their mind. I mean, you know, after all, there are some, you know, congressmen here in the U.S. that are actually saying the Fed is out of step. And the Mohamed El-Erian, famous economist, came out just a few weeks ago saying that we need to reevaluate the Federal Reserve. I mean, they realize that they could be abolished, that if enough, even some Democratic congressmen and senators are upset about what the Fed has done. I mean, there's political pressure here. So they're going to be forced to maybe reverse their position or slow down in fear that they're going to be abolished, as the Creature from Jekyll Island book has suggested for decades. And the bond market's possibly anticipating that, so it's rallying. We also have the seasonality of the market, you know, rallying from basically September, October into the new year for both stocks and bonds, too. So U.S. dollar, you know, seems to have come down a bit and seems to be stabilizing here. It looks like it might, you know, change direction a little bit. So, I mean, it just could be a seasonal effect, and it doesn't mean it's a long-lasting one. But I wouldn't be surprised to see interest rates, mortgage rates, you know, resume their uptrend, overall rates resume their uptrend at some point here, because they'll be forced to. They're not going to get rates, inflation down to 2%. I mean, it's just not going to happen again. Too many things in the world that are preventing that. You got diesel, gasoline up. You got shortages everywhere. People, you know, have trouble hiring people. The war situation. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, I know you could say the market tries to look beyond all this and looks well into the future. Well, you know, maybe they'll keep it up for a while, but my overall projection is you're going to see the stock market significantly lower in the next year or two. You're going to see the S&P 500, which is around the 4,000 level, probably down to 2,000. I think you're looking at a huge, huge decline in the next year or two, but you can make money in that environment. You could be in inverse indexes. You could be in, as I mentioned, you could be in risk-free interest rates with treasury bills. You can do, you mean, maybe even gold, silver participate. There are other things you can do. And maybe if the war expands as we anticipate, you know, maybe, defense stocks like, you know, some of the big names out there like Lockheed Martin and others might do well. So that might be another hedge.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's happening in the automotive market? Are used cars finally coming down in price, and can I get a new car or an electric vehicle if I want at a decent price?
Well, I don't know about a decent price. Yeah. They seem to be pretty expensive on the electric vehicles. And, you know, one that I was checking out really frustrated me, because I went to search for, you know, various charging stations. And this is a non-Tesla type vehicle. And I drove around, and a couple that I drove to weren't even there, even though they were on the map that they're supposed to be there. You know, so I don't know. I guess if you have a Tesla, they've got a lot of good stations around, but for some of the competing vehicles, I'm not quite sure. I might be speaking, off the top of my head here, but just my initial reaction is that I'm afraid, you know, what kind of luck you're going to have charging outside of your own, you know, plug at your house in terms of, you know, dependability and so forth. Listen, you know, political pressure, pushing people to buy them. The big issue is, are we going to have the power and or the locations to really get the power you need? I think you're better off getting a vehicle that could combine both, you know, a hybrid type vehicle where you can still get gas if you have to. I wouldn't want to be taking any trips, you know, depending only on a charge situation in the current environment. There's just not enough around. And I checked, like I said, I checked just cursorily on my own that it was sort of difficult to find places. And many have low charge designations, meaning you got to sit there for hours to charge your car. It's not like they're really fast and high speed. The ones that I did locate on a map. So it's a crazy environment out there. I'm in no rush. And I think, if you're going to do something, it has to have a combination of gas and power or electric power, so at least you have a way to travel if you have to. But, you know, political pressure is to push for it, and it'll eventually happen. But I think it's more of a multi-decade scenario. They're expensive, but we don't have enough charging stations. We don't have enough electric power to power everybody if they suddenly had electric vehicles. And, you know, people think that by doing this, they're saving the environment. It still takes crude oil and manufacturing and supposedly non-climate positive situations to produce these vehicles. It's still manufacturing. It's still construction. There's still mining. There's still things you need to produce all this stuff. And even if you don't want to talk about EVs, you want to talk about solar panels, you want to talk about, you know, windmills or anything else, it still consumes a lot of carbon to create, you know, these so-called alternate products. So it's really, I don't call it a hoax, but it's something that we needed to ease into over decades and not decide that in 10 years everybody has to do certain things. And of course, you know, political, geocosmic, political situations could change, you know, the environment really quickly, particularly if a war becomes more of a reality and breaks out, which is one of my fears right now. So we'll see how it all plays out. Yeah, they're fun. You know, it's nice to have one to play with it. But, you know, if you want to make any long trips and you can't plug in, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know over the summer here, there was a traffic jam because of a lack of charging stations. So people planning to use TransCanada had to wait around hours waiting for their turn.
I saw stories a couple months ago. I think we talked about it, about people in California having an electric vehicle and in the back having a gas generator, you know, to power up and generate some power to plug their vehicle into. So they start the gas generator attached to the back of their car as a backup means of getting power for their batteries. So it's just a circus. I mean, it's over the top. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, there's certainly a lack of coordination for a transition plan to take us away from gasoline-powered vehicles. And,
right.
Again, I don't see a massive increase in power generating stations or the doubling of the power lines themselves to people's homes so they can charge at home.
Right. It was a political move. You know, the Biden administration and this country decides letting illegal immigrants into the country, you know, cutting off or disincentivizing production of oil and so forth. I mean, it's insanity. That's the only thing I can say. They're mentally ill. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They're just they're pushed by whatever mental disease that seems to be part of their personality to do these crazy things without thinking through a planned effort to go through a transition. And the transition, unfortunately, when we talk about nuclear plants, I know they have some of these new high-tech plants they're talking about that could be built relatively quickly, but you know, nuclear is really the answer, and some of these plants could take up to 10 years to get permitted and underway. We're just behind the times here. What can I tell you? It's wild. I don't know. It makes no sense to me, but I guess if you're suffering from a mental disease, you can't explain that except perhaps some medication.
And, of course, all these electric vehicles need battery metals. It takes 10 years to get a mine approved, and the Canadian government refused permission for a mine in Iqaluit, one of the Canadian Northern Territories, to double its capacity. It It would have provided more local jobs, which they desperately need. It would have provided the Aboriginal population needed revenue. But they said no. Again, everybody wants a smartphone, a smart car, but those take minerals that you dig out of the ground. And they don't want to mess up the ocean bottom, apparently, in the search for minerals as well. So what's going to power this so-called green future if you don't have the minerals to do it, the rare earths to do it?
And China seems to control that market, and there's talk about expanding it more and here, but it's like light bulb suddenly went off. Oh, by the way, 80% of the rare earths are in China. You know, we can't say anything bad about the Chinese or do anything to upset them, because that will really mess up our green plans. The funny thing about China is, though, they're less, and not only China, other parts of the world are still very much oil-based economies. You know, there isn't the rush around the world that supposedly is occurring here in the U.S. So, and we all have heard about the pollution in China and so forth, and, you know, their wide use of coal and oil and so forth. So even though they are building a lot of nuclear plants, I mean, the world isn't on this harebrained, let's do it tomorrow mentality. You know what I mean? So it's going to take, you know, probably 20, 30 years for us to even, you know, really make this functional, assuming we don't have a complete change of direction on the whole project, which could happen. It could happen because of the, like you say, mineral situation, lack of the crude oil materials to build some of these vehicles and other, you know, related, you know, facilities. I mean, if you put up a charging station, I mean, that's made of metals, it's made of plastic, it's made of things that you need, you know, resources to build. It all just doesn't come from the air or from electricity. So there are shortages around, and I think, you know, that partially explains your comment about not having many of these stations around, and also are they economically feasible? Does it make sense to put all these things up? Who's going to pay for it? The companies or the government, which means more taxes if citizens have to pay for these charging stations? And, you know, there are some that are in existence now where you pull up and you have to pay, and I guess that's it. You're eventually going to have to pay for the charging stations. Well, you know, you build the charging stations, what energy and materials are used to create those? And it seems to me there's a lot of oil and, you know, other materials involved in that the green left is trying to discourage. It's just, you know, it's just amazing stuff. I mean, why can't we just have a sensible plan that says over the next 50 or 100 years we try to slowly transition, and this is what we need to do to accomplish it, realizing that we really can never get rid of everything. We're always going to have some of the undesirable, you know, pollutants and so forth out there. That's just part of the world. Listen, if a volcano goes off, which is happening now, 47 locations around the world, I keep bringing this up, the pollutants that are going in the air and the poisonous gases and so forth, we have no control over that. So, I mean, you know, Mother Nature will get even with us at some point. We'll clean up the green movement, and then the super volcano will go off and shut down the earth in terms of our ability to grow crops and do everything. I mean, there's things happening out there. I just have an intuition about this. This is what's all coming. We're going one direction, and Mother Nature will teach us a lesson.
I read a report that Pinatubo in the Philippines, one day of eruption there, erased 10 years of carbon credits. How do carbon taxes cancel out volcanoes? No politician has told me how that works.
Right, they don't even talk about it. Like, you know, I bring it up on this interview, and they say, what is this guy talking about? I mean, like, we're impervious to anything that happens. And look at all the people that suffered, you know, in hurricane disasters and earthquake disasters and tsunami disasters and all kinds of stuff around the planet. I mean, it's a little bit of news and it disappears. I mean, the day-to-day, you got to be thankful when there's a sunny day and fresh air out there, because we live on a volatile planet in a volatile universe. And, you know, there's still risk of asteroid and meteorite activity. There was an article that I published in my newsletter a couple of weeks ago about what we suddenly discovered, a couple that were hidden behind the sun that we didn't see before. And there have been some that already hit the earth. They're small, and they came as a surprise when they happened. Supposedly we have all this technology that scans and could possibly warn us about this stuff. I mean, it just, you know, we just, like, we gotta be grateful for every day. And, I guess on the politics and the people that are involved in all this nonsense, they're just worrying about getting reelected or getting paid or getting paid off. They're not worrying about what's going to happen 10 or 20 years down the road or what else could happen out there. Yeah, but your point about the pollution, I mean, there's so many other things going on around that discounts and reverses what we supposedly are gaining is ridiculous. And I disagree with the whole green global movement anyway. If you study ecological and human, not human history, planetary history over the millions of years, there's many instances of so-called climate change that's planetary based, unrelated to mankind even being on the planet at any point. So, you know, we're just playing with ourselves here. It's just a bunch of nonsense. But, you know, if you're in the stock market, you can trade crude oil long and short, and you can trade EV vehicle stocks long and short, and you can, you know, play with the green credits and trade with the futures. I mean, there's money to be made, and everybody's short-sighted, and they're just trying to make money, and they're not thinking about the big picture, what all this means, and really, are we really saving the planet, or are we just enriching our bank accounts? I mean, it's really, the whole thing is nonsense. So, you know, it's, we all want to have a green, beautiful, clean planet, but there are forces out there that are well beyond our control, like the changes you just mentioned with the volcanic activity. So, you know, sure, we should try, but we have to be thoughtful about it and realize that, you know, we're just little insects here. We have little control of what really happens on the planet, and we think we do, but we don't.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping an eye on right now?
You know, a few things, but nothing dramatic. There was some solar activity that, you know, was announced the last couple days, you know, through the various websites that I track. For example, the space tracking sites, they talk about some, they call it a co-rotating interaction region hitting the Earth's magnetic field coming from the sun, which is due in the next couple days. But, you know, we get a lot of these impacts on the magnetic field. They really don't change all that much. So I just sort of monitor it. One of the interesting stories that I did cover, I don't know how much time you have left on this interview, but it was an old story way back a few years ago about how scientists discovered an ocean 400 miles beneath the feet of our, beneath the surface of the Earth. And it's not something I just read about. I've known about this for years, but I was watching just the other night one of my favorite movies from the 1960s, Journey to the Center of the Earth, which was, of course, Jules Verne's story. And in there, they come across a, you know, subterranean ocean in their travels. And it's funny because it's in the book, you know, which is well over 100, 150 years old. And you just wonder, you know, these great science fiction writers, how they had foresight or insight or whatever it is. And I guess I became what they call a Vernian, you know, belief in Jules Verne and some of what he's written. So we actually did discover there was a subterranean sea or ocean or something well beyond, below the planet, when we always thought it was fire and smoke and it got hotter as you went down and it was unlivable. And, you know, it's funny how someone like Jules Verne came up with a subterranean sea, and in the movie they actually call it the Saknussemm Ocean after the geologist family that supposedly discovered it in the book. But, you know, it just really rang to me, you know, when you just hear these stories about great men thinking great things in the past, H.G. Wells and the Jules Vernes of our world. And, you know, H.G. Wells, of course, talking about time travel, and Verne talking about submarines well before they actually were built, and the story about the subterranean sea. You know, they say Leonardo da Vinci, if you see some of his sketches, was designing helicopters and planes and all kinds of, you know, preliminary sketches, of course, of advanced technology hundreds of years before they came to pass. You know, were these people in just in touch with ancient aliens, or they just were geniuses, or, you know, it's just amazing, you know, that some of these things that are in the so-called science fiction books have come to pass. It's the old expression, if you can dream it, I guess you can do it. But the insight regarding the subterranean sea thing, it just really, really struck me, you know, that what we think we know, we don't know. And, you know, archaeology constantly covers up new discoveries if it doesn't fit the mold of where things should be and what time frame. You know, like the age of the pyramids or the age of the Sphinx, turns out it's many thousands of years older, and possibly were created by other civilizations well before the Egyptians. So, There's no doubt about it, Jim. I mean, we probably had high civilization on this planet, maybe equivalent to what we have today, that got wiped out. Was it an asteroid, a polar shift, some dramatic event? And then we're going to find out that we just keep reliving history over and over again because of the geocosmic and because of forces that we have little or no knowledge or control over. So, you know, it's just amazing stuff. And, you know, it's just fascinating way to, you know, to spend your time thinking about, you know, what else is real, what reality really is. You know, what is really reality? You know, what we think is here, is this the only reality? Perhaps not. So this is good for someone like myself in the stock market, because I always have known, and I see it in my own trading, how it's all manipulated. It's a big game. It's controlled by, you know, the big firms, by the government. I mean, it's all a big game. So what is the reality of the stock market? It's a false reality, but you have to, if you can want to play it and trade it, you deal with it, and that's how all this sort of fits together for me, because I look at these prices and I look at the news and I know it's not all true, or it's controlled or manipulated. It's just not honest people doing honest things, unfortunately. So, you know, when I put that together with the geocosmic and all these other, you know, tangential things that I talk about, it all sort of fits for me. You know, it's just sort of fun and makes my day. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to express myself.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.